Okay, so today we're on the Daf Tetzayin, I think, right? So Tetzayin. First, I want to come back to something that Michael had raised yesterday. Michael yesterday asked me about Zika Rabbanan, and I said yes, but I looked into it today. I was a little bothered when he asked the question. I spoke to Rabbi Berblowski, who gives a shiur why you want to spoke to Rabbi Chaim Packer, who's a Shulamashim, and the Arts wrote a blurb. There are certain dinim that the Zika are clearly Drabanan. In other words, when we talk about like Achot Zekukato, the sister of the one that I have Zika with, that prohibition is clearly Drabanan. In the next parak, we're going to have a machloket whether Yesh Zika or Ain Zika, and that's going to talk about the same topic on a Drabanan level. But everybody agrees there is some connection between the Yavama and the Yavam on a Doraisa level. There is some connection between the two of them, so that there is some Zika on a Doraisa level, in addition to which is going to be the opinion of Reb Shimon in the next parak. And Reb Shimon over there holds that Zika has dinim on a Doraisa level, his opinion. So we'll see more when we get into it. All right. Any event, we're in the topic about tsaras, like not tsaras in the Yiddish sense of the word, but co-wives of an erva. And we said there was machlok, and we've been discussing it for several days between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel holds that tsara of an erva is prohibited to the brothers, just like the erva is prohibited to the brothers, the tsara is prohibited to the brothers. But Beit Shammai holds tsara is permissible because Beit Shammai doesn't learn the limud of Litzror. Litzror teaches me that tsara is prohibited. They don't learn that limud. So the basic, the long and short of it is, we had a whole machlok in Gemara when Beit Shammai has their shita that the brothers are. Could do Yibam or should do Yibam or Chalitza with the Tzara, was it just a theoretical idea, like they discussed that in the Beis Medrash, like the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, or was that something that they actually conducted? And from there, the Gemara, expanded out, like, will the Shito to Beit Shammai, did they actually do it, or they did like Beit Hillel all along? So the Gemara brought some proofs last night that they did follow their Shita, but now we're going into the kill tonight. Since I'm not off the top line, everybody with me. So Tashma, the 16a, the top line. So Tashma, b'mei Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, utratzarat abad la'achin. In the days of Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, so it seems, l'chore, what Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas? No, Harkinas is spelled differently. Harkinas is spelled usually with a kuf and a nun vav sama. Anyway, all right, anyway. So let's just all hold off with questions, comments. I'll pause periodically, okay? So b'mei Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, who trusts her about la'achin, that in time of Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, so the tzara of the erva was permitted to the brothers, meaning l'chora that he's following the sheep of Beit Shammai. So we don't know this yet. The Gemara is going to explain that it was really Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas' brother that was matir, but either way, if they're matzirit, it means so shmamina su. So from here, one could deduce that they actually conducted themselves that way. So the and Rashi brings down that he says that on the second wide line, Rabbi Dosa Hutra, that Rabbi Dosa's brother, who was a Talmid of Beit Shammai, he tira, he permitted it, and they were doing that way. So Shmamina the Gemara says, from here we can deduce that Beit Shammai really did, follow the way that they taught. Okay, now I'll just do a little bit more in the Gemara, and then we'll pause after the story, and we'll be in good shape, hopefully. Okay, so the third line on Tzaymanan Gufa, earlier we learned, B'mei Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, Hitiru Sarat Rabat La'achin. In time of Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, they permitted the Tzara of the Bat. In other words, if, Reuben and Shimon's daughter was married to Reuven, and then Reuben had another wife as well, who was the Tzara. Then Reuben dies, so they permitted the Tzara to Bat Lachin. They permitted the Tzara, who was the Tzara of the Bat, to the surviving brothers. And the Chachamim were very upset about this because Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas is a big Talmid Chacham, and they felt the halacha is like Beit Hillel, and he, l'chora, as far as they were aware, was matir the Tzara to the Achim. He wasn't able to see well, so he didn't come to the Beis Medrash, and they couldn't engage him in conversation in the Beis Medrash. That's the way that the Aris will learn it. So on the side, he corrects them, source to Shas, Amru, Mielech Biodio. So who is going to go to Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas and tell him, we are Mechulak with the Shita that you have? So Amar Lahen Rabbi Yeshua, Mielech. So Rabbi Yeshua said, I'm going to go. And it comes out in the way the Maharsha brings it down, and Rabbi Leibowitz was saying this as well. Rabbi Shua was like the elder statesman of the group. He says, "V'acharav mi," and who else is going to go with him? So Reb Lazar ben Azari. Reb Lazar ben Azari said, "You know, I volunteer." And he says, "V'acharav mi," and who else? Rabbi Akiva. So those three chachamim are going to engage in a conversation with Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas. So they came and they stood by the entrance of the house. Very, you know, kavadik. They didn't enter. So the shivcha walks in and says, "The chachamim are here to see you." So Amar la yikansu. He says, "Let them come in." So v'nichnasu. So they all enter. So he grabs Rabbi Yoshua and he puts him on a meat like a cushion, a gold cushion. In other words, like. Sounds like the furniture was gold, and they would have like these cushions that they would sit on. He says, "Amar lo Rebbe, and one of the Talmid Chacher, he is saved." So he says, "Rebbe, say to your other Talmud, and that he could sit as well." So Amar lo Miu. So he says, "Who is that?" Remember, he couldn't see either. So Reb Lazar ben Azariah. So the other Talmud is Reb Lazar ben Azariah. So Amar b'yesh lo ben Azariah chaverenu. In other words, he. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, he was older, so he knew his father, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah's father. He says, "Karala v'mikra zeh." So he, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas, applied the following pasuk to Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah: "Na'ar hayiti gam zakanti, lo ra'iti tzadik ne'ezav, v'zar mavak kishlachem." Like I was younger, I became older, I never saw a tzadik abandon or his progeny asking for lechem. It means that Reb Lazar ben Azariah was wealthy, his father was wealthy, and he knew that the father had been wealthy and the son was wealthy. So it's, you know, Nar Hayiti Gam Zakanti, you know, Velo Ra'iti Tzadik Ne'ezav. I was younger, you know, and then I saw the father was wealthy, and I'm older, and now I see the son. I didn't see the tzadik that was abandoned, that's the father, that's the way the Marshal learns it. It was Arma Kish Lakam, the son, I mean, it was kind of Nahara. So he says, So he grabs him and he puts him on a mitzvah zahav, on a golden chair. So Amar lo Rebbe, and what's Tamichacher being shaped? So Rabbi Yeshua says, "Rebbe, there's another Talmud, you should ask him to sit down as well." Amar lo will be who? So he says, "Who is that?" So he said, "Akiva ben Yosef." So Amar lo, "Atahu Akiva ben Yosef, Shemkal Leif Misopo Lomi Yatsofo." Are you the famous Rebbe Akiva? That your fame has spread from one end of the world to the other. Shave, Bini, shave. Sit down. Don't call your booby Israel. Oh, halavad, there should be more people like you can call Israel. Now, by Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't say that he put him in a gold chair. So the Maharsha says that the first two, i.e., which is Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, so Rabbi Yoshua was an Av Bezdin, and Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was an Asi. Rabbi Akiva, he didn't hold one of those positions. In addition to which, Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud of Rabbi Yoshua. In other words, so it's not Kedai that he should be like on the same level as Rabbi Yoshua. So Hitkilu Mesavino Toba Halakot. They began to like surround him with all these different, in other words, like engage him with all these different halakhic discussions. So the Maharsha says they were really there to ask about Tzara Dabat, but they didn't want to come straightforward and ask him, because they were afraid, according to the Maharsha, that he would clam up. If you remember in yesterday's Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua, they asked Rabbi Yeshua, remember, is the halakha, you know, what's the halakha? He says, "I'm afraid to say one way or another. I'm afraid they're going to, you know, break my skull." So they didn't want the same thing to happen with Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas. So he says, so they're discussing other things. Then eventually, the conversation wound down, wound to Tzara Dabat. Amrulo, Tzara Dabat Mahu. They said, "What's the halakha about Tzara Dabat?" So Amarlehen Machloket Beisham Vidhilo. It's Machloket. So halakha Beit Meir. Who's halakha like? Amarlehen halakha Beit Hillel. So it looks like Beit Hillel. So that's good. They're all on the same page. Amrule. It seems to be strange that the word lay here, because it's a brisa, and the word lay is Aramaic. That word I was a little bit bothered with, but. It should be like Amrulo, but Amrulay. We heard in your name that the halakha is like Beit Shammai. Amar lahem dosa shmatem o ben harkina shmatem. When you heard this, did you hear that there was a Rebbe Dosa who said this? Or do you hear that Ben Harkina said this? Amrule, Chaye Rebbe Stam Shemana. We heard Stam. We just heard Ben Harkinas. So Amar Lahem says, listen, I can understand this now. Ah Katan Yeshli. I have a younger brother. He says, Bechor Satan Hu. He's like a real adversary, like a tough cookie. Bechor Satan. Yonatan Shemo. His name is Yonatan. Vahumi Tamide Shammai. He's the Talmud of Shammai. And so you must have heard, so he must be the author of the statement that was getting you upset. It wasn't me. If you encounter him, you know, be careful he doesn't chop you down with halakhot. He's very sharp. He's got 300 arguments about Tzaret Abad to prove that Tzaret Abad, is like Beit Shammai, is permissible to the brothers. Shehimu Teret. But as far as I'm concerned, I tell all of you, I give a testimony by the heavens and the earth. Now, meducha is a mortar. A mortar is like the bowl that you chop up the drugs and things like that. It's like a bowl. You sit on it. So he says, on this meducha, Chagayanavi. So I was bothered by, like, is he really pointing to a meducha or is it just like a turn of phrase? So he says, one person with base medrash, Rabbi, a real diamond thought it might be like a mound of dirt. And he says, not this, not dirty did. And then I don't know, Rabbi Packer thought it's just like, you know, saying like a turn of phrase. He says, Yeshav Chagai Navi. So Chagai lived centuries before. Chagai lived centuries before. Chagai, you know, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, right? Those are the last Nevi'im. Chagai Zechariah Malachi. So Chagai is, you know, right when they're coming back, you know, maybe to Eretz Israel. And this is taking place, this conversation is after the Korban Bayit. So Chagai is living over 400 years prior to this. This is Va'amar Shoshadrim. And he's giving testimony that my Mesorah from my rebellion is that Chagai said a three halakhot. And Chagai is one of the Nevi'im that there's never a haftorah from Chagai. It's one of the Nevi'im we can never have a haftorah from. So one of the three things is Tzaret Abad Asura. The first he said Tzaret Abad Asura. Tzaret Abad is prohibited to the brothers, like Beit Hillel. So you have to say that Beit Shammai, you know, didn't have this Mesorah. So, the Gemara is going to have in Tosfos that Rabbi Yochanan also has going to have to say that Chagai never said this. But he's saying that Chagai says like Beit Hillel. And then he says, Amun Moav Ma'asrin Ma'asr Ani B'Shriyat, that Amun Moav take Ma'asr Ani in the Shemitah year. So we'll do this outside and we'll do it in Rashi. So it comes out that, you know, Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha L'Shaita Lo Kedusha L'Tadabo. The first Kedusha, the Olei Mitzrayim, the people who entered Eretz Israel in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, they gave a Kedusha to Eretz Israel, but it wasn't in perpetuity. In other words, then when they were destroyed, the Kedusha left. Then the Olei Babel came, and they were Mekadesh certain areas, but not every area in Eretz Israel. So in other words, even though something historically could be part of Eretz Israel, doesn't necessarily have to get the din of Kedusha. So when they came, so Amun Moav is on the east bank of the Yarden. Amun Moav was you know, conquered by the lands of Sihon, you know, that they conquered, Sihon and Og. So it had Kedusha very straight on the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but later on with the Oli Babel didn't have Kedusha very straight, but they did that intentionally because they wanted the Aniyim to have a place to go in the Shemitah year. In the Shemitah year, so nobody's taking Masrot, but here it'll be like outside of Eretz Yisrael, so they were Mitakin as part of that, but they'll take Masrot. Let's see the Rashi on this. We'll do the Rashi around the 10th Aravon in Rashi. So Amun Moav, Yisraelim Adarim Be'eretz Amun Moav, the Jews who live in the land of Amun Moav, Shekibesh Moshevi Sichon, so he says Sichon, not Og, the Moshe Rabbeinu conquered from Sichon, V'nekatshu B'tushet Eretz Yisrael. It got sanctified with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Now, during the time of Bayit Sheni, the second temple, the Kedusha's Batel, they plant in the Shemitah year because there's no prohibition, there's no Kedusha Shemitah in that area. So they established that in the Shemitah year, the people who live in these lands, who normally not chayav as masro, but in the Shemitah year, they'll take Masro. They'll take Masro Rishon, goes to Levi. And they'll take Maser Ani to the poor people, to the farish of Kaman, but they parnas Adonim Shabir Israel, in order to support the poor people in Israel, Shein Lehem Malah Chobesh Miyid, because they got their you know, in dire straits of the Shemitah year, which is right now in Israel is Shemitah year, Lefi Shabbatel Leket Shech Upeya, because Leket Shech Upeya are the Mat Odaniyim, and it's not Shayach when people aren't, you know, planting their farms. So they'll go to Amun Moav, they'll get Leket Shech and Peya, which are the Mat Odaniyim, like if a you're harvesting and you forgot a bundle in the field, leave it for the Aniyim, and pay you leave the corn in the field. And like the way I remember is if the things you were cutting and some of the things weren't ripe, you leave it for the Aniyim. So, and they'll get the Master Ani. So let's go back on the Gemara and then I'll pause in a minute. So he says, so he's saying, this is Reb Dosef Ben Arkinas is saying that the Maimisor is that Chagai Navi said three things. The Tzara Baras Asura, which is what we need. Amamo Master Master Bashriyat. And then on the fourth white line, Kabim Gerim min ha-karduyim umina tarmudim, that we can accept Gerim, converts, from the karduyim and the tarmudim. So we'll see in a minute, if you look in Rashi, he says, v'lo aminam mamzerim heimi b'dot Yisrael, shabolein al-dei kochavim b'ikbur abanat d'pasli. So if a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, so we normally think that the blood is kosher, but there's an opinion in the Gemara that the blood is a mamzer. That in other words, if a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, and then there's an offspring, there's an opinion in the Gemara that the offspring are mamzerim. So if a person's a mamzer, so he's saying that we can accept converts from the karduyim and the tarmudim, and we don't have to worry that maybe they're really mamzerim and we don't know it. In other words, they're living like non-Jews, but there's a concern that they're really like the progeny of Goyim and Jewish women, but in which case there are really mamzerim. So mamzerim, we wouldn't want to, you know, normally accept mamzerim on Klal Yisrael, but here we would. All right, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Wait, say again, repeat. Right, so it was even in the West Bank, not everything is Mekudesh. Like the Gemara says, like, what was it with Beit Shan? Like, some areas were Mekudesh, some not, I think. And Akko, the Gemara learns, Akko partly was Mekudesh, partly not. And I think with Beit Shan was also a question. So even areas that are on the West Bank, not every area got the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, if you would know with clarity exactly where the dotted line is, yeah, but large swaths of land are included with it. But you're right, if you would know which area. Say again, repeat. Oh, yeah. Wait, I don't understand what you're saying. Dave, repeat, I don't understand what you're saying. Where did you see Egypt? You saw Egypt somewhere? Where? He says Mitzrayim? Yeah, who does he quote? Who does he quote from there? All right. I only know what Rashi says here, but all right, but you got the idea with this. Now, just 1 second, I want to check. Go ahead. No, it's not in Tanakh. That's the thing. Okay. Now, Okay. So I'm going to, if no one questions, I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Okay. So let's see back on the Gemara. Okay. We're on the fifth wide line on Tefayin Amid Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay. So Tana Torah Nebraisa, Shedechasu Nechasu Petah Chachad. When the three Chachamim entered the house to see Rabbi Dosef ben Harkinas, they came in one entranceway. And when they exited, they left with three different exits. So let's look at Tosfos on this. Look at the second Tosfos. Everybody with me? Second Tosfos. So Tosfos got two Pshatim. Why are they leaving through three separate doors? So one Pshat Tosfos has is that they shouldn't that this Yonatan, the brother of Rav Dosa ben Harkina, shouldn't encounter all of them together, and then he'll like chop them to pieces with his svaras, and then they'll be forced to be kovei halacha like him. That's the first shot the Tosa says. Inami, it's yatzu b'shloshah p'tachim kidei. He puts on the side shem set uhu b'yishmu tshuvato or punk faker, that they went through three different entrance ways so that they would encounter him. One of them would encounter him, and then they'll be able to hear what his arguments are. So either they don't want to hear the arguments, or they do want to hear the arguments. But those are the two malachim that the Tosa says. You know, there's something in the Nefesh HaRav, where Rav Shachter, he quotes from, I'm sure I remember, it was, I think, the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and I think, I don't know, Rav Zelig, who was the Av Beis Din Bris, that they came to us, they were all, you know, traveling together, they came to a home, and they each wanted to be mechabe the other one to walk in first. and then finally they decided that one was a Kohen, one was a Levi, one was Israel. So they'll do it in order of that. So the Kohen goes in first, then the Salvei Chavon were Levium, and then Reb Zelig, who was Abbez, and he was Israel, will do it that way. All right. Now the let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, so Pagabo Rabbi Akiva. So in Achinami, that's exactly what happened. This Yonatan, the brother of Rav Dosa ben Harkinas, encountered Rabbi Akiva, Akfile, and then he engaged him, with all of his arguments for Okme, and he was able to like best him with arguments. Amarlo, so he says to Rabbi Akiva, Atel Akiva Shemakol Lechmi Sofo Lami Ad Sofo, are you the famous Rabbi Akiva whose fame goes from one end of the world to the other end? Ashrecha Shazachita the shame, but we got the Roi Bakar. In other words, like, it seems like a very insulting statement to make. Like I'm so happy you have such a wonderful name, but you're not really on the level even of a Roi Bakar, like a herdsman of cattle. He says, Amarlo, but Rabbi Kiva answered with Anivas, Amarlo, Rabbi Kiva, of Hil Roi Tzon. I'm not even Zoka for Roi, I'm not even worthy, for the level of Roi Tzon. Roi Tzon are a lower level because they're chashed on, like grazing their sheep in other areas. All right, now the Gemara says, Amrumo Masrin Masr Ani Bishriyat. Now, we said that the second halacha, we're on the eighth very wide line in Tetzayim et Aleph, okay, page 31, around the eighth very wide line, okay? So he says, the Chagai said that Amar Moav Ma'asr and Ma'asr Ani B'Shvit, they take Ma'asr Ani in the Shvit year, the Amar Mar, because we have the statement, Arbei Krachim Kavshu Ole Mitzrayim, there were many cities that the Ole Mitzrayim conquered, below Kavshu Ole Babel, the Ole Babel didn't conquer it. Since the first Kedusha, dissipates when they're chased out of Eretz Yisrael. V'hinichum means the Ole Babel left these cities unconsecrated. So the Aniyim will be able to rely on the Shemitah year. All right, that was the second Takana. Now, the third Takana, U'makabim geirim and our karduyim ba'tarmudim. The third thing that he quotes the name of Chagai is that you can accept Yerim from the Karduyim and the Tarmudim. So, Ini, is this true? Now, again, we said the Chashash would be one of Mamzerus, that there was a question whether, non-Jewish men had relations with Jewish women and that the offspring might be Mamzerim. And now they're, calling themselves Tarmudim and Karduyim, but if you accept them as Gerim, but they're really Mamzerim, so not so good. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. Meaning, is this true? But Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, but Rami Bar Yecheskel taught the following Braisa. A Mekabim Gerim min ha Karduyim, that you're not allowed to accept Gerim from Karduyim. So here we have Rabbi Dosa Ben Harkinas said we could, and Rami Bar Yecheskel teaches the Braisa that we can. Amar Vashi, Kartuyim mitmar. So Ravashi says that what Rami Bar Yecheskel in his Braisa, what he taught was not Karduyim, but Kartuyim. And the Dalet in the top, it's phonetically a D and a T, like they always say, Kaddish, Yit Gadel, Yit Kadesh. A person should pronounce his letter Yit Gadel. Right. That's a gimel with the kuf. Like sometimes people say yit kadel, but it's yit gadel, yit kadesh. Yeah, that's a gimel with a kuf. But anyway, but the dalet and the same thing, right? Karduim and kartuim, right? That's it. Yit gadel, right? So yit gadel. You're right. Yit. Well, the Mishnah Berurah says with its seyre, but the other people have different viewpoints. But yit gadel, yit gadel, yit kadesh. Gadel, that's it. Kadel. That's a kuf with a gimel. Kuf with a gimel. So here it's the kartuyim, a kuf with a gimel. So here, no, here is a dalet with a kuf with a taf. But it said, but this, they do sound similar. The kartuyim. So amravashi kartuyim itmar. Kida amri inshi kartuyim sulin. Like people say, the kartuyim are psulin. The ikah da amri. Others say. Tami Rami Bar Yecheskel, the Rami Bar Yecheskel taught the Brisa, Ema Kamin Gerim in our Kartuyim. So in Achinami, in the Brisa, the old, you can't accept Gerim from Kartuyim. My love, Hainu Kartuyim, Hainu Karduyim, aren't they the same? So Amr Vashi lo, Kartuy Luchud, but Karduy Luchud. Ida Amr Yanshe, Kartuy Psilei. All right, so the bottom line is that the Rami Bar Yecheskel taught a different Brisa, and he said he can't accept the Gerim from Kartuyim, but from Karduyim we could. Now, Reb Yochanan, so that's with the Karduyim and the Kartuyim. Now, now Chagai said that you can accept Gerim from the Karduyim that we addressed, and you accept Gerim from the Talmudim. Now, Reb Yochanan, Besavya, the Amri Tarvayu, Reb Yochanan and Savya both say, Ein mekabelin Gerim min haTalmudim. They can't accept Gerim from Talmudim. So here we have a seira between what Chagai says and what Reb Yochanan says. So here, so Tosfos and Amud Beis, if you look quickly, the Amud Beis, the top Tosfos. So if you look at top Tosfos on Tesfos Amud Beis, so he says, Tema Tosfos says, Tema is the strongest question. Heiki Pali Reb Yochanan on a Chagai Navi. We say an Amora wouldn't be Cholik with a Tana. Here Reb Yochanan's Amora is Cholik Chas Shalom with a Navi. So he says, Heiki Pali Reb Chagai Navi, Shema Sabar Reb Yochanan Shalom or a Chagai Meolam. He may have held that Chagai never said that. So let's see back in the Gemara. So four lines from the bottom on Amud Aleph. Reb Yochanan Savi, I'm talking about Gerim Talmudim. And Mimar Reb Yochanan Hasi. Reb Yochanan really say that. But Hatanan, we learn in the Mishnah in Masechta Nida. Kol Haktamim Habaim Min Harekem Tahorim. Now Ktamim are bloodstained clothes, from women, from Nida. Now, the blood of Anita is tamei on a deraisa level. When it dries, it's tamei on a drabanan level. But if it's from a non-Jewish woman, so then when it's damp, it's tamei on a drabanan level. When it dries, it's not tamei at all. So here, the Mishnah says, "Kol tamim ba'im min ha'rekem tohurim," that the tamim that come from rekem are tohurim because they're non-Jew, so there's nothing to worry about. Rabbi Huda metame, but Rabbi Huda says no, they're tame. They came gerim, betoim, because they're gerim, and the blood is metame. But Rashi says betoim, toim means like they're erring, making an error. Four lines to the bottom, shemiru datam, they had converted and then they, renounced their faith. Gazul kitmeim shafu pishakatu shemiru yisraelim. So the Chamim made a gzeira. They're calling themselves non-Jews, but we know they're really Jewish. So the gzeira that is coming says now on the bottom line though, tohorim. So, but the Chamim that come from the goyim, the Jews don't live there. Then that's tahor. Bab, we were osek in this mission when we asked the following question. Turn page, top line, Amud Beis. Kapasik b'tani mina ovdei kochavim. The Tana here, he paskins without qualification that ketamim that come from goyim are tohorim, bafilu min tarmud, even presumably from tarmud. Now we said a moment ago that Rabbi Yochanan Savi said we can't accept gerim from tarmudim because we're afraid they're really mamzerim, they're really Jewish. But here the Mishnah says that if you have a ketam that comes from tarmud, there's nothing to worry about. So that's a stira, right? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan's an Amar. The Mishnah says if you have stained clothes that come from Talmud, it's nothing to worry about. In other words, I'm not kosher to anybody's Jewish there, and it's a dried blood stain. And Rabbi Yochanan said a moment ago that you can't accept gerim because we're refraining from mamzerus. This is what filmed in Talmud. But I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said concerning that Mishnah, Zoro Merit become gerim in Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan said concerning that Mishnah, from here we could deduce that we can accept gerim from Talmud. So Bechitay Mazot below Svirlay, maybe he's saying this indicates that you can accept it, but I don't really hold from that. But I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan says halach is like a stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan also says halach is like a stam Mishnah. So here we go, stam Mishnah. So the Torah should be that way. So the Gemara says, Amorayim who believe Rabbi Yochanan. So the different Amorayim is what Rabbi Yochanan said. So even the statement that Rabbi Yochanan holds halach is like a stam Mishnah could be machloket Amorayim, but it's machloket whether Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can accept gerim from Talmud or not. All right, now let me pause for questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll move on. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far? All right. Now, we good. Peace out. Say again and repeat. No. Rabbi Dosa is the one who met Rabbi Akiva. And he said, aren't you the famous Rabbi Akiva? That, oh, you mean the younger brother who engaged him in conversation? Yeah, well, yeah, so it could be he didn't meet him, but what can I tell you? I don't know what to tell you. Not everybody meets everybody. One second. All right, now he has a whole piece here on Talmud. Okay, now which city is Talmud? So we had a whole Shaka Bataria where the Rabbi Yochanan says we can or cannot accept gerim from Talmud. And the issue with Talmud is that that there was a chashash that maybe non-Jewish men had relations with the Jewish women, and they might have a din of mamzerim. It's an opinion of the Gemara that offspring would be mamzerim. But where is Talmud? So he says here that you should know Talmud is also called Tadmor. So it sounds like you flip the resh and the dalet, and then it becomes Tadmor. And the Yerushalmi mentions this whole conversation not regarding Talmud, but regarding Tadmor. And the Levi in the city is mentioned named Tadmor. They mentioned the Sefer Malachim and Divrei Yamim. And in the Pesukim, it says Mefurash that the city is found in the Midbar. And we see also from the Ma'aseh that's known in Masechet Shabbat and Lamed Aleph, somebody came to, remember, with Hillel, and he says, like, Mikan Hillel. And he asks him, Mevema Eineha Tarmudim Terutot, why are the Tarmudian's eyes round? Remember, with Hillel, is like, you know, taking a shower on Friday afternoon. And he asks him like these sort of like questions. And he says, because they live among the sands, the Midbar. And our sugya, it says that Talmud is mentioned between the cities in the district of Babel. So he says here that if you look at maps, you see the city today is in the Syria, in the Syrian desert, on the way to Babel. And it's called Palmyra. In other words, in English, it's called Palmyra. It was in the news like a year or two ago. So he says, and that's Ir HaTzmarim, Ir HaTzmarim. Now, in the Navi and Malachim, there's a Kriya Ktiv, and the Ktiv is Tamar. In other words, it might say Tadmor, but the Ktiv is Tamar. In other words, the city is called Tamar. This city is built in the heart of the desert, and there's like an oasis there, and there are springs, and there are date trees. And in the past, it was like the crossroads between Babel and Eretz Israel. Now, it's interesting, in Divrei Yamim, it says that Tadmor was Bamidbar Ba'aretz, but the place is like a Midbar, but there are Mayanot, there are trees, and it's still considered like an important archaeological site, and there are many things over there. If you remember that, you know, with the things that were going on in Syria, that they destroyed a lot of the valuable things. Remember with the who was it? ISIS. ISIS took over and they destroyed Palmyra, like a lot of archaeological things. But it, anyway, so he says in Malachim Divrayim, he says Mefurish, this was built by Shlomo HaMelech, and in order to do that, he conscripted non-Jews from seven nations that had been left in Eretz Israel after the kibbush. So now we can understand our sugya that he says, we'll see in coming up, that Avdi Shlomo, that servants of Shlomo Melech lived in the city,
And Rashi explains that Rim Shem Becheskel of the Kokavim is the Goyim, and Goyim Hayu, and they weren't Avidim Kanani, they were Chayvim Mitzvah. So I don't know, it says that they weren't Avidim Kanani, they were the Goyim. But he says, based on our Sugya, that the people in Talmud, they had relations with the Jewish women, so it fits in with the Yerushalmi and the Medrashim, that B'nai Talmud came to Eretz Yisrael to help the people who were conquering Yerushalayim and destroying the Beis Hamikdash, and they also participated in the Korban by Rishon, Korban by Sheni. And Ryokan says, Ashrei Mishir Mepala Talmud Ashutav Tu B'Korbanot. And then fortunate is the person who sees Talmud being destroyed. So in our Gemara, I don't know, it says, according to one version, is one side was destroyed, one side was rebuilt, and the conquered nations of Eretz Yisrael, Syria, fine, and they also conquered the Haredah. All right, but anyway, and then they were conquered by the Romans. All right, so we got with Tumut Harmon. Okay, let me go further in the Gemara, unless there's any questions from anybody in the cyberspace. Okay, I'm going to go on. Okay, so we're on 10 Tzayinu days. This we're up to. Now on the fifth wide line, or the fifth narrow line, Mitarmud my Tamalo. So why is it, according to the Sa'ad, that we didn't accept Gerim from Talmud? Why not? Why would we not want to accept Gerim from Talmud? So plead by Rabbi Yochanan and Savia. Says Machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Savia. Chanamar Mishum Abdi Shlomo. One says because of the servants of Shlomo Melech, which we had just referred to in the Morot Daf Yomi. The Chanamar Mishum Benot Yerushalayim. One says it's because of Benot Yerushalayim. So Mishum Lamadamar Mishum Abdi Shlomo Savar. Now, so the Abdi Shlomo would mean the way you're putting together Morot Daf Yomi, that Shlomo Melech conscripted these non-Jewish people to work in Tadmor, and then they had relations with these Jewish women. He says, and that opinion would hold that if a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, that the offspring is a mamzer. So if that's the case, so I have these people called Talmudim, but amongst them, they got a lot of people who are really Jewish, maybe don't realize they're Jewish, and they're really mamzerim, so we want to stay away from it. So, El Lamandamar Mishum B'Dot Yerushalayim Ayi, but according to the opinion says, it's from the incident with Benot Yerushalayim. What is that? And this we had also referred to in the Daf Yomi, in the Morot. Pliyibar Rav Yosef Rabbanan, Zmachlokin Rav Yosef and the Chachamim, V'tarvayim Shrei D'Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Chanamar, Tresor Alpe Gavre, V'shita Alpe Kashtuye. One says there were 12,000 men and 6,000 archers, so it would be 18,000 men altogether. But Chanamar, Tresor Alpe Gavre, Uminayim Shita Alpe Kashtuye. There were 12,000 men, among whom there were 6,000 archers. And when the Goyim entered the Heichal in time of the Korban by it Rishon, Hakol Nifnu al Kesef Zahav. So all the Goyim were busy plundering the gold and the silver. The Heim Nifnu means these Goyim focused al Benot Yerushalayim. They focused on ravaging the Jewish women. Shneimar Nashim B'Tzion Inu B'Tulot Ba'arei Yehuda. He says that the women in Tzion were, raped or ravaged, so again, either way, it's saying that we're concerned in Talmud that there are people who, according to one opinion of the Gemara, really mamzerim, so that would be the reason not to accept gerim from Talmud. Okay, let me pause for a minute. Now, he has here, now, a big issue in the Gemara is the status of where a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman. So the Gemara cites the position of those who hold that a child born from an illicit union between a non-Jew and a Bas Yisrael is a mamzer and thus may not marry into Kahal Hashem. It says, Halacha follows the opposing view on Mem Hei Amad Aleph, the rules of Avlad Kasher, the child is legitimate. There is where a fundamental dispute among the authorities as to the meaning of Avlad Kasher. So let's go slowly with this. So you have a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman. So is Machloket is the offspring of mamzer, or do we see the Avlad as Kasher? Now, we don't hold the blood as a mamzer. We hold the blood as a kasher. When we say the blood is kasher, what do we mean, the blood is kasher? So the Piskei Tosfos infers from Tosfos and Kiddushin that the child born of such a union assumes the status of his Gentile father and must undergo gerus before marrying a Bas Yisrael. So, in other words, that's understanding. In other words, So it's not the way we normally understand it, but he's saying, one side is saying that their mom's there, the other side is saying the Vlad Kasher, that he's eligible for Geirus, not that he's Jewish. He's eligible for Geirus. He says the term of Vlad Kasher simply means that he's permitted to marry a Bas Yisrael subsequent to his conversion, in contrast to a mamzer who's unable to marry Bas Yisrael under any circumstances. So that would be a different way to look at the sugya. Now the Marashah, the Tosfos, Dibura Matkil Amarai, this big Tosfos on the right, notes the words of Tosfos here also imply that the child of a non-Jew must convert before marrying a Bas Yisrael. Okay, now the Marashah in Kiddushin points out that Rashi in Kiddushin also implies that those who assert a Vlad Kasher are of the opinion that the child must undergo conversion prior to marrying a Bas Yisrael. All right, the Chemda Shlomo, however, proves from Tosos below on Mem Zion that the child is Jewish and no conversion is required. He also notes that this is the opinion of the Rambam and many other Rishonim, and accordingly he rules that the child at birth assumes the status of his Jewish mother and does not require a Geirus. That's usually the way we take it, but you see it's not so pashut. The Maharid al-Ghazi and the Marshal have a novel approach regarding this matter. They maintain that the status of such a child is contingent on his future behavior. If he conducts himself as a Jew, he's deemed a Jew. And conversely, if he grows up following the practices of his Gentile father, then he's halachically deemed a Gentile and must undergo conversion. So, you know, so sometimes the things that we think are so pashut aren't so pashut. So it comes out, just to summarize, so you have a non-Jewish father, a Jewish mother. So one opinion of the Gemara is the offspring is a mamzer. The other opinion of the Gemara is the blood is kasher. But what is the blood kasher? So a lot of Rishonim say it means that he's kasher, that he could convert, but and then after he converts, he'll be kasher, but he still needs to convert. And then others hold that it means that he's Jewish. And then there's another opinion that says it depends how he behaves. That'll determine whether he's Jewish or not Jewish. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts? We usually take it that the person is Jewish, but you see there's a lot of different opinions. With what? Right, that's the way. Okay, now, all right, let's see further.
Israel rabbi typically marry this man to a Jewish woman?
I think he would.
That was my understanding.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. So, I'm going to go further in the Gemara, and then that'll be it. About the what? We mentioned that Star was one of the three cases. Yeah, with the brother. That's the first one. The Mishkag guy. He's the first one. He says on the third wide line, Star and Abad Asura. Okay. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. Now, okay, now the second wide line on Tetzaneh Beis. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Yonatan. Now he's going back to the pasuk that remember Reb Dosa ben Harkinas when he saw Reb Laza ben Azaria, he said Nara Hayiti Gam Zakanti Lo Riti Tzadik Nezav. So he says Amar Yonatan pasuk says Sarha Olam Amaro. This pasuk was recited by this Malach who's in charge of the world. It says Nara Hayiti Gam Zakanti. Man Amre, who was the one who recited this pasuk originally? Ilema Kutchabrichu, we say it's the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying it. Mika Zikna Kame, is there a Zikna before Hashem? And it was from doesn't age. Vila David Amre, so maybe David Melech said it. Mikashtra Shkuli Hai, David Melech only lived to age 70. So he says, Gamzakanti, I'm an old man, but you know, usually Zikna is when you're over 70, and he died when he was 70. Elishmamina Sar Olam Amre. But Amre Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amr Yonatan, my dechiv yado karasar al kumah hamadad. This is a pasuk in Eicha that he, the enemy, spread his hand al kum all its treasures. Where it's like machmadad comes from chemda, that which you desire, on everything that is desirous. So Amun Moav. So Rabbi Yonatan, like the drasha is, refers to Amun Moav. The shashin the chesu of dechiv kavim lahechal. When the Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash during the time the Korban Bayit Rishon, I called Nifnu al Kesem Zahav. So most of the people were interested in gold and silver. The Haim, mean Amon Moab, Nifnu al Sefer Torah. They were focused on the Sefer Torah that was in the Heichal. Amru, Zeshatubo lo yavo amonim ovi b'kal Hashem. This Torah that says that an amonim ovi can't come b'kal Hashem. He's an amonim ovi can convert to Judaism, but they can't marry with everyone else. He says, Yisareif ba'esh, it's to be burned. So the drasha is, it says, the pasuk says, it says paras. The Maharsha says in the medicine, the art school, if you rearrange the letters, it's saraf. In other words, yado parasar saraf. In other words, all kol machmadeh. Now machmadeh is referring to the Sefer Torah, and in other words, on everything that was precious to it. So the whole pasuk. Let me get the whole pasuk. Here. One second, please. Yeah, so it says, they saw the goyim enter the base of the mikdash. Those are the goyim interested in the gold and silver. But the Ammon and Moab, they were focused on the machmadim, on the Sefer Torah that says they can't come bakal. That's the way he darshans the pasuk. And it's interesting about machmadim. I remember hearing, this is many moons ago, what was the name of the Rosh Yeshiva that tells the Yeshiva, who passed away many years ago? What's his name? Rav Mordechai Gifter. So I remember hearing him on the radio once, and he was saying about Ahav, like with the king of Aram. So Aram made all these demands of Ahav, but when he said, you know, and I want all Mahamadeha, I want like your Sefer Torah. So even Ahav, who's a Rasha, said, I can't agree to that. That's like the Machmadeh. So here's also similar Machmadeh. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara.
But then isn't Machmadeh plural and Sefer Torah is singular grammatically?
So,
Odette is there, you can double check me with him.
So, Machmadeh, let's take a look. Machmadeh, he says, let me see, on all her treasures. You're right, that is plural. It is plural. And here, they are darshaning it on the Sefer Torah. So let me see. Yeah, but still, that's the drasha. I can't tell you, that's it. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, the pasuk continues, or the different pasuk. Siva Hashem Yaakov Sivivav Sarav. That Hashem directed concerning Yaakov, Sivivav Sarav, that around Yaakov, the Jewish people will always be their enemies. So meaning that when they're in Eretz Israel, they're surrounded by enemies. Unfortunately, it's true today. But even when they go into Galus, they'll be surrounded by enemies. So Amarav, going Homanya Pumnara. So Pumnara is a Jewish community, which means that the mouth of the river, but that's in Babel. And in Homanya, here Rashi says Homanya had Yavanim there. Look at the Rashi. There were poor Jews in Pumnara, and they were like tormented by these other people. Here he says Yavanim, but the article really said, this is, I think, a different part that says that they were, he says, in Yushin, it clearly refers to the Ammonim. So it's not clear why he says Yavanim here, but elsewhere it says Yavanim, the Ammonim. So it means that they got the Ammonim when they're in Eretz Israel, and they go to the Galus, they got them as well. Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rabbi Asi, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit, like, maybe you're all familiar with this, but after World War II, so many Jews who had, you know, Rachman al-Tan survived the Holocaust, so the Allies shifted them to DP camps in Germany. They were in these displaced persons camps, but in the same DP camps, they had a lot of the people who had been pro-Nazi, like, let's say they'd be Estonians or Ukrainians who had been pro-Nazi and were also fleeing now the Soviets, and they, so the people, the Jews were in the DP camp with like their oppressors who had just escaped the whole Holocaust with, and both were eligible for immigration and did emigrate to the United States. And that's a lot of the things with, you know, the special agency from the Justice Department, all these people they were trying to like, you know, deport, and that was the same thing. Okay, let's just wrap up the daf and that'll be it. So now the Gemara says, four lines from the bottom. And if you want to join us for a few lines, Arthur, you're more than welcome. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marabasi, Obey Kuchabim Chikdesh Bizman Azeh, Choshen Lekidushin. So Rav Asi says if a non-Jew is mekadesh a Jewish woman, bizman hazeh, we have to be choshesh for kiddushin. In other words, normally we say non-Jew, the kiddushin aren't tofes. You have to be choshesh. Shem me'aseret shvatim. Maybe he's really the descendant from the aseret shvatim, because we know there were Jews in Eretz Israel from the 10 northern tribes, and then Shalmaneser exiled them, but maybe we have to be choshesh that they're descendant of them. So the Gemara says, v'ha called the parish meruba parish. But you know the way it works is if you separate somebody from a group, you assume he's from the majority. So most of the goyim are not considered shvatim. So this is beduch to the kviyeh. It means in the place it goes back to kavua, which Dafyomi people have had in the place where they were permanently settled. In other words, in like kol kavua kemech sal metzadami. If the topic arises in the place where it's normally found, then it's considered to be like a 50-50 topic. So, remember, like you find a piece of meat on the street, a 9 store sell treif and 1 sells kosher, so then it's treif. But if I know it was acquired from a store, but I don't know which store, then that's kavua, and kol kavua kemech sal mechsa. So here also is kemech sal mechsa. So the Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, v'yamchim bachmach v'kavur nahar goes on v'arei madad. Pasuk says that he, Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur, he exiled them to Bachlach, Kavur, and the heart goes on Barimadai. Chalak Zel Chalzon. Sounds like a food, right? Chalzon. He says Chalzon. But Kavur, the top line is Zayman Aleph. Zu Chadayav. That they said is Adi Abney. He says, the heart goes on Zu Ginzik. But Aremadai, Zu Hamadan. Hamadan. The Chavei Rotan, the neighboring cities. Like, it always ends up with Persia. But Amri La, Zu Nihar v'Chavei Rotan. Others say it's a city of Nihar and it's adjoining cities. So Chavei Rotan. So what are these adjoining cities? So Amar Shmuel, Terech, Moshe, Chitki, v'Jumkia. Those are the neighboring cities. So those are the cities that where they had a lot of Aseret Shvatim people. Okay. Any questions? That's where the king of Ashur brought them to.
All right, now let me just see here. I think I have a little bit here. One second.
All right, we'll do a little story, and then that will be it. Okay, Rav Yosef Rose and the Rugged Shavar Gaon had an amazing grasp of the entire Torah. So the Rugged Shavar had a tremendous memory. I read that he said he never forgot anything from the time he was 3 years old. And he would have a conversation with somebody, and then like years later, remember what they had said, the whole thing, and he knew all of Shas, and he said once that he had chazed half of Shas on the way to his father's kever. He was going to chazed the rest of the half on the way back. He says, this is Rav Yosef Rosen, the Rugged Shavar. He lived before World War II. One of my Rebbeim, Rav Michal Katz, said he wrote to the Rugged Shavar. And anyway, so he says here, so he's the author of Safna Panea. So he says, he lived in Dvinsk. He lives in Dvinsk, which is in Latvia. And in the same city, Dvinsk, lived was the Or Samea, who's Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. So those two live in the city of Dvinsk. I read in a book that you'd have to pay for a visa when you went between Lithuania and Latvia. So a lot of Talmidim didn't come to visit him because it was like, let's say $50 or whatever. It was like a big, thing, but he was happy when people came. So the worst thing Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk once said about his fellow Rabbi Dvinsk, people say that he has a phenomenal memory. It's not true. His awe-inspiring encyclopedic knowledge and insight is a direct result of his constant intense review of every aspect of Torah. He revisits the school of Torah Kula every month. If someone asks him a difficult question, they're mistakenly impressed by his prodigious memory, as if he learned all the sugyas a number of times, then miraculously retained them. Quite the contrary, he answers with such clarity because whatever the subject is, he has only just learned it again. Now, once a year on Simchas Torah, the two chief rabbis of Dvinsk, Rav Meir Simcha and Rav Shavar Gaon, would daven together. One year, as they watched the celebration with the Torah, Rav Meir Simcha said he had just completed a study and found that a certain Tana is mentioned only 7 times in the entire Talmud. The Rugged Shavar smiled and answered, "You're well aware the 6th time is Vakim is a textual error, and that you made up the 7th to test me." Okay. Now, one time when the Rugged Shavar Gaon was in Lublin visiting the Torah's Chesed Tzitzal, Torah's Chesed wanted to see if his visitor really had an immense a knowledge of Shas, as was widely reported. It was going to make it to our Gemara. Knowing well the Rugged Shavar would recognize the reference, when he entered, the elder Rav greeted his guest with the language of the Gemara in Yevamot on our day's daf. Shave beneath shave. Sit down, my son, sit down. Which is what Dosa ben Arkina says to Rabbi Yeshua when he comes in. The Rugged Shavar sat, and the Torah's Chassid asked him, how many times is the term shave found in all of Shas? How many times shave in all of Shas? So the Rugged Shavar responded with his characteristic lightning quickness, 7. which happens to be the meaning of the word shave in Aramaic. Shave is shav. It's like seven, which is really something. You know, there's a similar story I saw in the name of the Vilna Gaon that, like, in I think the Parashulchan, he brings down that the Vilna Gaon, like, he knew, like, how many times Abaye and Rava were mentioned in a Masechta, you know, like, how many times. Anyway, that's going to be a different number. Okay, let me, okay, what? The rocket shover? Yeah, I assume. Let me get this straight.